But we got a bad time, Martin, at the El Royale. Heard that place was a nice place, man.
Oh, once upon a time it was.
Yeah, you know, it's a hotel where, you know, you go there and, you know, this is the only hotel that I know of you can be in two different states at the same time. Mm-hmm. What is it? You can be in California
and Nevada.
And Nevada at the same time, man. Nice little gimmick they got going on there. The establishment is actually kind of swanky. It's got like a nice retro feel to it. And I hear the rooms are, you know, they're okay. They're a little comfortable. It's just the clientele that goes through there. You catch it on a bad day when certain people are checking in, then the night, it might not end too well for you, Martin.
Well, plus, it hasn't been kept up so well.
And the
service sucks.
The service sucks. They got one dude for everything. He's the janitor, the cook, the custodian, and the bellboy.
Mm-hmm. Bartender.
I should also think he's the Uber driver. Yeah, the place is not too well. But, hey, you know what? Even though the company may be kind of shady, it's never a dull moment with these people because you never know what's going on with them. Everybody comes in with a secret. Do we find out what the real motivation behind these people that are staying at the Hotel El Royale really is or really are? Let's go ahead and take a look and find out not only that, but if the movie's any good. And we'll do that after we watch the trailer for Bad Times at the El Royale.
The El Royale is a bi-state establishment. You have the option to choose a room in either California or Nevada.
How'd you end up at the El Royale?
The Ritz-Carlton was booked.
This place used to be hustling and bustling. Old Dean Martin even sang a song about it once.
This is not a place for a priest, Father. You shouldn't be here.
We might need to work on your sales pitch, son. The El Royale, no place for a priest.
Watch who they tell me to watch.
Who's they?
Management.
Baby, it's my.
Would you mind opening up the door?
No, I ain't gonna do that.
Each day that passes
by. We have to get as far away from him as possible.
Howdy.
Not really a priest.
Yeah. No shit.
Oh, what are you, Jeff Bridges, in this movie? This thing with this, man, you don't know who anyone is. These different personalities come in, they make for a great dynamic with each other, mm-hmm. I think, in the film, if I can say anything positive about it at first. This movie is strongest. The strongest thing with it is its storytelling method for me. Everything is a mystery. Who are these people? Who are they looking for? What are they looking for? And they all seem like they are more than what they really are. And it really does, when these people first come in, it really does make for a great dynamic.
Oh, yeah. They all arrive at this motel at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
This out-of-the-way place that seems to have no one there. It seems abandoned at first.
Mm-hmm.
They introduce themselves as what they are, but you get the impression, even through flashbacks, some of it, that, okay, everybody here is lying.
Yeah.
So what's really going on? And it only gets weirder when the one bellboy does show up, and then another guest shows up.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Early on in the movie, who's your favorite character early on when the first group of people get together?
Oh, well, I mean, right off the bat, it's John Hamm.
Yeah.
In as much as he's a character transplanted from a Coen Brothers movie, and he's loud, he's Foghorn Leghorn in a jacket.
I'll say that, boy.
Yeah, he's another form of that, a little bit crude, kind of fun. He's driving the dialogue, and it's like, mm-hmm. All right, let's see what's going to happen here.
I asked you that because I felt like you might say that, because the same thing with me. He's a John Hamm. You heard him in the trailer. He's this appliance salesman who is the kind of character who's charismatic, maybe even a little sleazy, but all these things come together to make him just a fascinating character to watch. Somebody you probably don't want to know, you probably shouldn't know, but you're still drawn to him no matter what. And then that's a big compliment considering that he's going up against Jeff Bridges in the same scene.
Sure.
Who's equally as good.
Yeah.
I didn't see as much of John Hamm in the trailer as I did of Jeff Bridges. I was kind of really taken aback. And Cynthia Erivo, is that Erivo or Ervio?
I guess so.
Yeah, she's the black woman, Cynthia Erivo. She's in a big production, Broadway production of The Color Purple.
Oh, okay.
And she's really good too. But when this group comes together, you are automatically hooked because the way they're interacting with each other, you know they're hiding something, and you want to know immediately where this is going to lead.
The lady's got a hotter hand than we do, Father.
I am very sorry to keep you waiting.
Damn, boy, where you been? Waiting in this lobby so long, I could use a shave.
Man, talking to him like he's his daddy. Boy, where you been? I'll say that, boy. Where the hell you been?
I'm very sorry. What are you doing here, Father?
None of your goddamn business.
And I do mean I know that. You, son?
No, but I mean, this is not a place for a priest, Father. You shouldn't be here.
We might need to work on your sales pitch, son. The El Royale, no place for a priest.
There are other hotels, Father. Maybe closer to Tahoe, I could help you find one. I'm sure you would be happier there.
Miles, is it? Yeah, this is not a place for a priest, Miles. Then this is exactly where the Lord wants me.
Yeah, Lord ain't slept in them sheets. That shit is nasty. You and God might want to get the hell out of here. The Lord. I like how the hotel was the character itself.
Sure.
The hotel is a place of mystery itself. The hotel seems to almost defy space. There's all these rooms. There's all these hidden nooks and crannies.
Uh-huh.
And it just adds to the mystery of the story. And
oh, you know what? Even talking about the character, we see those three. We forgot the hippie.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to say that. Yeah, you know, there's more characters that keep coming in. You wonder why hardly anybody is at the hotel. Mm-hmm. This place is so cool. How come people aren't coming through here more often and staying here and hanging out? And why are all these shady people showing up? You even begin to wonder at some point, is there something supernatural going on here? It's some kind of purgatory or something. And believe me, I'm not ruining anything when I say that. It's just a feeling that you kind of get from this.
Purgatory. That was a thing watching it in the beginning. It's such a mystery. There's that party that goes like, wait, are they all in hell?
Yeah, yeah. Thank God. I thought I said it wrong. It's like, God damn it, purgatory.
Purgatory. Yeah. Like they're like, maybe they're waiting to get judged and decided where they go.
Yeah, you don't know. I mean, it's so weird. This thing seems to defy space. This hotel, that maybe that this is another dimension that these people are in. Whatever's going on is you're hooked because it takes time building itself, revealing, connecting. One secret reveals another thing, and not only does it keep you hooked, but it's very intense. The whole time, I mean, that's one of the great things about the director, Drew Goddard.
Yeah.
Now, he's done a lot of things. A lot of things as a writer. He did things I know right off the bat. He did Daredevil season one. Okay. And he also wrote The Martian. Mm-hmm. And
he writes episodes of The Good Place.
Does he?
Yeah.
So the guy does a lot of writing. And I think when he's left to his own projects, the thing that he is very masterful of doing or at doing is making sure that he slowly reveals things. He's keeping things a mystery all the time.
Keeps his cards close.
Yeah. Did you notice that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you know, things are gradually revealed to the point where you're not only is it intense because of what's happening, which are very intense moments of violence and mystery, but you just want to get to that next thing. You're kind of just itching to see what's going to happen. Who are these people? What are they doing? And one of the reasons why I got a feeling of mystery of something supernatural going on with this. Is because, and let me see if I can find it here. I pulled this up because I just thought about it when I came in. I said, why do I feel like this is such a supernatural film? And I finally realized it's because he was the one that did Cabin in the Woods.
Right.
And that's another, if you remember, you saw that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another movie where you don't know what is happening from the get-go. You almost have to wait to the end of the film to see what's going on.
Oh, this is awesome.
Whoa, no way.
You're like, what the fuck? did that bird fly into the Matrix? what the hell happened? A lot of the things that you, some small elements that you saw in that trailer play in this film. Mm-hmm. How you fit, I'm not, which way are you leaning towards this? Were you as hooked in the movie as I was from the very beginning with all these characters coming together and all the mystery that was going on?
In the beginning, yes, absolutely I was.
What changed for you?
Well, because this movie, it's so much of it is a dark comedy. A very mysterious dark comedy, kind of sinister, and it's told in chapters, sort of, where you're following a character to a point, then it backs up and shows you the story from a different angle with another character, and then backs up and does this over and over. Mm-hmm. There comes that point, and I don't know if it was at the halfway point or at the beginning of the third act, where all the mystery is revealed.
Yeah.
Everything from that point forward was just, oh, so all that was just leading to this. Like it was so many different things for so long. And at the end, it's like, okay, well, now you're just a violent crime story that's playing out by the numbers.
You know, I really admired what they did here because all this, along with the storytelling method that the director chose, that method at some point goes into telling the story very visually. Mm-hmm. As Martin was saying, as you were just saying, it's all these small stories sometimes that come together. And this is mostly a collection of plays.
Yeah.
This whole thing works out as a play. And some of them have their own unique staging, which lends itself to different art styles, all done by one director. You might have one thing that seems like a straight on flat stage. You have something that's a very dynamic stage that's going on. You have something where it's mostly done with no dialogue.
Yeah.
It's all visual. And then there's some where it depends on nothing but visual. And a lot of this is broken up, as you say, in the chapters, like Pulp Fiction. Mm-hmm. And from a directing standpoint, this is one of the most creative things that I've seen in a long time. Direction is brilliant in this. The storytelling method is great. Story ain't that great.
No, it's I found it really frustrating, to be honest. That was my ultimate feeling with it, because it started with so much promise of what it could be. Mm-hmm. But once it finally reveals what it is, you realize, okay, two of these characters have pretty good story arcs. So the other ones, they're either, wow, your story arc is really cliche. Yours is barely there, and this one, it's sort of cliche, but longer, and it's mm-hmm. taken over everything else. Mm-hmm. And it's just that feeling, because one thing about this movie that's been seems to be the theme is that it's too long.
Yeah.
And that it's a third act that's the length of two acts in itself.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's by that point it's like, man, everything I had in my head about what this could be is so much more interesting than where we are. And now I'm having to sit here and wait for you to work your way through this to the end so I can go home.
Yeah, it's almost a little self-indulgent what's going on here with the direction, because this is somebody who set up has a great setup.
Great setup.
An awesome setup. And then you get to the point where this the director, Drew Goddard, he starts to fall in love with his visual direction.
Yeah.
And by the time, it's almost like I said with what we talked about earlier with First Man. You get to this point where it's taking so long to just kind of soak up the scene. to just stand back and say, ain't this pretty what I built right here? And by the time we start getting to some of the more important characters, they ain't so important.
Yeah,
actually, kind of confusing. By the time we get to the big villain in this, the big villain being Chris Hemsworth. Chris Hemsworth, you know, he's supposed to be like, this is a guy that needs his own story.
He does.
You know what he does in the movie here. They introduce him too late for him to be the big baddie that he is. And that's what he does. He just, and he's over. Like, it's great to see Chris Hemsworth come in and be like, God damn, I'm so glad I'm not Thor.
You know, right, right. I mean, he seems to be a Charles Manson who likes to move like Jim Morrison.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, this guy comes in and, you know, he just comes in dancing and he's just having so much fun and just kind of like, come on, man, pull back a little bit. Yeah. Sit your ass down. You know, it's fine. But he's got a little bit too much swag in this. He's having too much fun. He's overplaying it.
Yeah. And
everything that he says with the dance. You know what I'm saying, Martin?
Yeah.
What are you doing over here? You guys want to play a game? It's like, man, can you just talk to me and put a fucking shirt on?
I mean, it's pretty hypnotizing when he does it.
No, it is.
I can't take that away from him.
Should I join that call? You know, it's... When he comes in, when them pecs are moving, man, my head was just kind of like, oh my god, he is a god.
Yeah, he's like Ka the snake.
Yeah, I was trying to motorboat his ass. but this is a character that is so big in the movie, such a heavy, of such importance to the story, that by the time he's introduced, without the development that could have been given to him, without all the love for the visuals, it's too late.
It packs on. So I mean, it's the movie's getting to a point where you feel like, all right, well, it's coming to the conclusion. It's got maybe 10 or 15 minutes left, and then they introduce his whole thing, and that takes over. And you're right, mm-hmm. It could have been another movie in itself. It would have worked because we had all those other flashbacks. It could have worked if we had seen him prior to that, if it was cut differently, so we knew, okay, this is still out there.
But yeah,
it's like, okay, this is done. And like, wait, who's this now? What the hell, man?
You know what? I didn't even think. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he come in dead, like, you know, because when he comes in, you look at him, and it's like, you know, damn, yeah, you pretty. You know, I don't mind looking at your ass, but I can't. But who are you? You got a name, baby?
You know? Yeah, the sign outside said no vacancy. I'm sorry. We have room for you on the stage.
I don't care. Can I get in bed with you? Uh-huh. But, man, you know, the structure that they chose kind of messed up some of the character development.
That's what I thought. I thought with the structure, the mixing things around, I thought this worked so well at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it bit it in the ass later.
Yeah.
Because then it was like, wait a minute. This really is a straightforward story. You kind of fucked us around going back and forth like this.
Yeah.
You could have
just
told it straight and we could have been out of here.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's too bad, too, because there's some actors and actresses that I like that I wasn't too crazy about before because I really hadn't seen them do anything that tested them too well or challenged them too well. And one of those being is Dakota Johnson.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, I was like, oh, she can act.
Huh. Yeah, yeah. She kind of played this hippie with a shitty attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And this tough hippie who, again, comes in with one of the biggest secrets in the film.
Right.
When she comes in, you act like, oh, shit, what's going on with you? And I liked her in the film. I actually liked, you know, I liked her throughout the movie as someone whose motivations you can never really figure out.
Right. Yeah. You really don't.
And you don't really know don't
know whose side she's on or whether you can trust her or not.
Yeah. But I would say that the heart and soul of the film is probably Cynthia Erivo.
Yeah, she is. She totally is.
Yeah.
No, I mean, she is so much that looking back, I was just like, man, I wish instead of all the sleight of hand, they just told you right off the bat that she was the focus. She was the main character.
Yeah, because, you know, looking at her and Jeff Bridges together, they're really the soul of the film. And you do enjoy them a lot in the movie. And that's not like the movie doesn't work. It's not like we're just kind of dogpiling and criticizing the movie heavily. I mean, the movie does work. When it works well. The moments that made me jump. I mean, even when the movie is kind of crumbling, it's still a lot of great direction that kind of keeps this momentum going on. The guesswork keeps happening. You don't know where it's leading at all up until, even near the very end, you just don't know where it's going. So I can't say it's predictable at all. It's just a movie that just didn't meet its potential because the visuals and the direction is so great that you wish that it had done more in the story department, because that's when you would have had an extraordinary film, I think. Mm. I'm going to give it a matinee.
Man, I've gone back and forth on this, whether to give it a high rental or a low matinee. Because honestly, it does start out so well, but it's so frustrating. And I'm 50-50 on it because also the shift in tone really bothered me. Because it opens, like I said, it's a mysterious sinister, but it's a dark comedy. I mean, especially with John Hamm's character, it makes it almost kind of a cartoon that you're laughing at. And then you get to that second half where, all right, this is just straight up dark, and and there's nothing, there's no more fun to be had here at all. And it's just like, huh, you really kind of set this up in a different way. And now, I don't know, I'm just not enjoying it at all anymore. I really didn't like the second half. So that, I don't know, that just really throws me. I'm gonna say high rental.
High rental. And you know, maybe it could be because you saw it as a comedy. I never saw it as a comedy at all. I saw it as a thriller with humor thrown in, you know, with some humor. But I never saw it as a comedy. So that's why it didn't bother me.
Well,
too
that
much.
Hotel was just kind of ridiculous. And stuff with the bellboy and them going for the design that they did, which is cool. I mean, like I said, it all worked in that vein with that type of movie. It just changed it to a different.
But this is a movie world, you know? It's like, It's a hotel that exists in this fantasy world that they created, and that's fine. You know, I just never thought the tone immediately grasped me as interesting characters and even dark characters. But I never thought it was a comedy.
It's what this movie, everybody's been comparing it to Tarantino. And even when I got there to see this,
because it's episodic like Pulp Fiction.
Right. And the rep even said to me, like, yeah, it's just, you know, it's trying to be Tarantino. And as I watched it, I was like, man, it's not trying to be Tarantino. It's got that retro style, but it's its own thing. Yeah. Okay, yeah, it's broken up, and all right, yeah, just, you know, just playing with time a little bit. But ultimately, that shift in tone thing, I was like, all right, maybe that's where it's trying to be Tarantino. But you know, he seems to know how to do that in a way that works. Where I felt like this didn't.
Yeah. Like I said, it's somebody who's start directing a movie while telling a story, and then he just kind of dropped the story to direct a visual movie, you know, and it doesn't work that well after a while. But I still liked it though.
I mean, I think if you rent it, you'll be like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah, no, you don't. No, you.
It's a very high rental.
Yeah, for me. No, and what I'd give it my matinee.
Yeah.
Damn, I got to ask you. I guess I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, man, you gave it some more bullshit.
I'll give it some more bullshit. Hey! Wait a minute.
You have the option to choose a room in either California or Nevada.
How'd you end up at the El Royale?
The Ritz-Carlton was booked.
This place used to be hustling and bustling. Old Dean Martin even sang a song about it once.
This is not a place for a priest, Father. You shouldn't be here.
We might need to work on your sales pitch, son. The El Royale. No place for a priest.